When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
The following production is part of the We Be Geeks podcast collective.
All this has happened before.
Hey kids, Townsend Coleman here, the voice of Michelangelo from the original Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Tom Kane, this is the voice of Yoda on Star Wars.
Hey yo, it's Wopat, and a big yee-haw to you all. I used to be Luke Duke.
Hi, my name is Oli Shoshan. I play Jedi Master Shakti.
Hi, Butch Patrick here, Eddie Munster.
Hi, this is Jim.
Hi, this is Bill Farmer. You're listening to the Neverland Podcast.
Welcome to Neverland, to Disney and beyond.
And it will all happen again.
And now your head lost boy, the Spider-Pan.
Walk on the eyes, it is Pan.
Jeremy!
Hooray for Captain Pan!
Hey, it's another week, which means it's time for, well, guess what? I had a weekly show again for a little bit. Now, I don't know if I'll have a show next weekend, but we'll see how things kind of pan out. Ha, see, I used to pan in there. That was funny. That's the joke, son. They're just flying right by you. You keep me. Okay, never mind. It wasn't that funny. But anyways, I'm back for another week because we have part two of our fun conversation with Virginia Hankins, and I wanted to be able to share it with you this week. Plus, how could I not have something out? I feel like it's a requirement because we celebrated 65 years of Disneyland this week. So we're going to not only hear from Virginia Hankins, we are also, I'm still at the point of this recording, I haven't decided what I want to share for being 65 years of Disneyland. Because, you know, everybody's going to be talking about it. And I'm sure you've got like five other Disney shows that you listen to on your whatever program you're listening with. So I'm like, well, I want to do something different. So I'm going to pick out some fun audio. Eric is even actually this weekend, he went to Walt Disney World. So he's probably going to bring us back some more fun audio. He tried to get some video of something, but he couldn't send it to me over Facebook and everything. But he got video of the Dwarves Mine Ride, I believe is what he was telling me. So he's been apparently having a good time. He showed me some footage. Got to look at, you know, the new castle. And I am kind of wondering if it really looks any better in person. And it's kind of like, yeah, it's okay, you know, but you know, there's still a lot of mixed feelings about what the new paint job on the castle. I gotta say, I really like the royal blue, though. If nothing else, that royal blue. Of course, I like blue, but that might be my thing. But that looks, I think that royal blue looks good. I like it myself there. I'm not so sure about the rest of it. I don't know. Rose gold, I don't know if that's fad is going away, but that's apparently what they say it is. But it looks more like it, you know, Sleeping Beauty had a dress that kind of went from pink to blue. So maybe having Disneyland Castle look a little pinkish with some royal rose gold makes sense. But this is Cinderella's castle. And I think a lot of people I've seen have made a good point that having it kind of that bluish tone looked more like Cinderella with her blue dress. You know what I mean? So I like the way that the castle looked. Heck, if look at the logo for my show, and it's that blue style, and I don't want to change it to rose gold, because I don't know. I don't think it looks as good. But like I said, I do love that royal blue on the roof bits of the spires. But anyways, I'm babbling on. I want to get you straight into the conversation here, or the second half of the conversation with Virginia Hankins, because it was a good show. This show, of course, this podcast, you're probably getting it just a little bit late. I had a really blistering headache. Well, I don't know if blistering is the right word. Splitting might be more like, as it felt like a hatchet was being driven into my head every once in a while from Friday night through parts of Saturday. And then Sunday, it was just really, really bad. It went from feeling like a hatchet to feeling like an axe. But then I wake up this morning and I'm fine, even though I hadn't planned on going to the doctor today. But so if you're a praying person, please pray for me that this headache doesn't come back, or that we figure out why I had one for 3 days. It might have been a sudden boost in humidity, which I don't know, maybe it got released today because it's been raining most of this morning. So that's been the case. Also, for anyone who's curious about what's going on or cares about what's going on with my furlough, well, I did get a rejection letter from one of the places I've applied for a television host, but I've always told you I've got a face for radio and hopefully the voice for it. Hopefully you enjoy listening to me. So I'm not probably going to be on TV. But anyways, So that's kind of what's been going on with me. Just a brief update. Like I said, I don't know if we'll have a show next week. I've kind of gotten more accustomed to doing a bi-weekly show as during the quarantine time. Well, I guess a lot of people are going back to work. I, unfortunately, am not fully back to work, but I do plan on making some more videos. I did on Final Fantasy VII Remake. I just completed. I finally sat down on it again. I've been playing a lot of Stardew Valley lately, but I went back to play Final Fantasy VII, and I got through all of the simulations, and so I've acquired an item at, and I don't speak any German, so those of you who can, it looks like Götterdämmerung, but it means Twilight of the Gods. So it's this really nice item that will give you a limit break at the beginning of a battle, and apparently it's going to make defeating Sephiroth on hard mode a lot easier, and I'm probably going to sit down and do that after I get this recording done. So, but that's where I'm, you know, I'm going to put up some gaming videos, I think, again this week. I didn't get any out last week. I've been doing a mixture between, of course, the Neverland Podcast channel, or also known as Neverland to Disney and Beyond. If you search on YouTube, you probably find two different channels because I've been, I experimented with the branding options on YouTube as well. But you can also look up the Spider Pan to find my personal channel. And that's where I'll put up videos of games that maybe aren't as friendly as what I would put on the Neverland channel. But I need to play some more games for both channels and put some videos up. I should probably talk more through them as well, but I haven't done that. Anyways, I'm babbling on, but we're going to have a good time. I want to share you with you a few quick facts that I thought were fun. So I had remembered that I had forgotten to ask Virginia a couple of questions that I was curious about because I just got into talking to her, and you'll hear that. We're going to talk about some Disney movies here in this second segment. But when we were talking, as we were using video, her cat hopped up. I don't know if it's on the back of her chair or just on her shoulder, so I'd wonder what her cat's name is. But she has a cute little kitty cat named Rocky. And I had wondered, like, how long she could hold her breath underwater and that kind of thing. And so she did email me back, and here is her exact sentence. She says, "I have a max swimming breath hold of 2 minutes, 35 seconds, and a static hold breath of around 3 minutes. My max ocean depth on a single breath of air was around 66 feet. How cool is that? That's a lot better than I could ever do. I can't hold my breath for, I don't know if I can hold my breath for 1 minute, and I can't swim. Only doggy paddle. So anyways, but let's just get right back into it and hear once again from Virginia Hankins.
To Disney and beyond.
Yeah, that's something else I'm going to do more of.
Amazing animals.
Yeah. I want, one of these days, I have goals, and I need to be famous enough to where I can have a ranch. Although I'd have to probably hire some people to help me take care of them because I've never known how to take care of a horse. Yeah. But I loved horses, and I want to learn to ride proper because I've done some horseback riding. First time I ever did it was in Colorado, and I was probably 7, and they wouldn't even let me hold the reins. They wrapped the reins around the saddle horn and just told me to hold on to the horn. Second time went horseback riding. It was an early morning breakfast ride, so we were going to ride out to a location and have like a campfire breakfast of eggs and bacon and all that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. But the horses hadn't been fed yet because they don't get to eat until we get to the campsite.
Oh, no.
So my horse was constantly anything. Yeah. Anything he saw that looked edible, he was stopping to look and he was going after it. And I was just like, "Hey, no, sorry, buddy. We got to go back." And I remember one time I had to pull him away from some grass he just looked back and looked me dead on like, "You better quit pulling me away from this. I'm hungry."
Yeah.
And I was like, "We're going to be friends later. Trust me," you know, The third time I rode, I started to get a little bit, I was a little older, I was in my 20s, last time I rode and everything, and I'm starting to learn that, okay, you hold on with your legs, and so, but I would like to spend more time, because I love horses, they're just fun, and I think they're smarter sometimes than we give them credit for.
They actually really are, they're about the brain level about a 3 to 5 year old child, so they do actually understand quite a bit of English, as well as language, and they're only 2 facial expressions off of a primate. So many people just look at a horse and they're like, "Oh, it just stands there." But they're not actually reading them. Where when you really work with the animals, example, we've all seen Tangled, and in that we have Maximus, right? Oddly enough, looks just like Milo the Unicorn, my horse. about the same level of personality too, those two horses. I think he wants to be him when he grows up. But that horse is actually really like when a rider gets to know a horse and a horse opens up, because many times they're reserved when you first meet them. Mm-hmm. And once they know that you want to pay attention to them, oh man, do you get so much personality. And they talk with everything from their facial tension to the way they're breathing to their eye movement to their ear movement and a combination of all of the above. So they really are only 2 expressions off of a primate. I think the only domesticated animal, because horses are domestic, in case anyone doesn't know that, they're pets. They've been pets for thousands of years, is the dog. And the dog just happens to have been domesticated longer, so it happens to just have a bit more human-like expressions. But horses, just like Maximus and Tangled, can actually point to things. They can use some basic tools. They use their mouths to be able to open things, kind of like a crow would. They're problem solvers. And it's neat because they're also all different types. You have things like Maximus, which is closer to like an Andalusian, or like my horse is an Azteca. He's an Andalusian cross. Or you have something like Angus from Brave, which is a big Shire horse, which is a draft horse out of the British Isles. Or you also have like the Arabians and Aladdin, which are pretty fun. And they're the super fast ones that can run across the sands, which is kind of ironic when you see a lot of movies also put like a draft horse in the middle of like Saudi Arabia. They would never be there. But like in Hollywood magic, they're always there somehow. But yeah, the Arabians in the animated version of Aladdin were spot on. That's exactly what would be there. So I highly encourage you to try it, you know, and that's also during coronavirus, really good social distancing because you're 6 feet in the air and you're 6 feet from anyone else. So you can also like go and exercise, go learn to ride. If you ever wanted to do, just go. Horses will teach you more about life and just the world in general, I think, than almost any other animal I know of. They're simply incredible.
Yeah, it's funny when you talk about the Hollywood version of how they always get things wrong, like even horses in the wrong spot. The one thing that always bugs the dickens out of me, and I actually have audio of the first time I rode the Jungle Cruise in Walt Disney World, of me trying to correct the skipper.
That's one of my favorite rides.
And I do love the ride, but they always, in Hollywood and television, you hear a kookaburra, and they'll say it's a monkey. And that's clearly the laugh of a kookaburra. That, And so and on the Jungle Cruise, that go there, and the skipper says, "Ooh, listen to that monkey." And I'm like, "Actually, that's not a monkey." And I'm like, "Never mind." I'm like, "Okay, I'm not supposed to be talking to the skipper that like that." But you can hear it. I've got it on audio, but it drives me crazy. And it's probably because my wife's a biology teacher, so I know animals.
You know, it's the same thing with costumers too. You know, when you start really getting into costuming and you start looking at different movies, you know, the nice thing about most of the Disney movies is they're very fantasy. You know, they're inspired by something that's probably been around several thousand years. However, they've taken their own spin on it. You know, hence why Elsa doesn't ever really need like a parka to stay warm. I don't get
that. She's got cold powers. No problem. You know, right?
Like, I don't understand. This is so foreign to me because, you know, I'm from California. We have sun here. But yeah, even the costumers, you'll definitely hear them saying stuff, but you know, it's one of those also attempts about, are you trying to be historically accurate or are you just trying to have fun and give those, you know, impressions that you probably have of what it was like, not necessarily what it was like, if that makes sense.
Yeah. Which is, that's Disneyland. That's Main Street.
Yeah.
It's part of Walt Disney's remembrance of Main Street. Cause I've been to Marceline. It's here in my home state of Missouri. I go all the time. And when you see Main Street there and you compare it to Main Street USC in a Disney park, it's very, very different. But yet it's the same. But it's that fantasy version of what he remembers. So it's, you're not getting a real 1930s Main Street. You're getting the imagined fantastic version of Main Street 1930s. And that's what makes the whole park and everything Disney, you know, especially vintage Disney. I'm more into vintage Disney. It had that level of fantasy. That's why we can also get away with when an eagle flies by, they scream like a hawk. Because eagles actually twitter. If you look it up, everybody, Google it. The sound an eagle makes. It's actually kind of cute. This little beep, 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 beep. It's not a screaming. It's not screaming eagle. That doesn't exist. That's a hawk. It's another thing that Hollywood does that drives me crazy. But it is, it's that fantasy level of stuff. And that's something we, as Disney fans, we have to expect a little bit of that fantasy. And I even found it funny with the upcoming live action Mulan that people were saying, oh, they're going to make a more realistic Mulan. I'm like, I'm sorry, this is Disney. It's not going to be realistic.
I'm really excited about that. That was one of the things I was most disappointed about when all the movie theaters shut down. I was so excited to see Mulan because I really enjoyed the live action Aladdin. You know, sorry if anyone didn't. I really liked the casting in it. I thought that the lead actress was great and I really like what they did with her character. But watching the Mulan, the first time I saw the Mulan trailer, it was like, oh, this is neat. Yeah. You know, all of a sudden, one of the Disney princesses, which is one of my favorite, even though she's not technically a princess, but hashtag whatever fits in, I guess. But I...
Hashtag Mulan could beat them all in a fight anyway.
Absolutely. I mean, give put Mulan with Merida and Rapunzel, and they will take down the world. I mean, we've got a frying pan, a bow, a sword, and yeah, we're good.
There you go.
But I was so excited to see that. I can't wait to see the Mulan live action, because I think it's going to get a lot of girls really excited again, just like the animated did, about just not only learning about other parts of the world, which is so important, but, you know, being strong and yet caring about your family and the fact that you can be a well-rounded human being and the fact that this woman did exist, you know, in ancient China, she really did exist. And that's just super inspiring. So, yeah, I can't wait for the live action Mulan. I'm excited for the live action Little Mermaid to see what they do with it. And just opening even more Disney characters. You know, I really hope Disney keeps reaching out like they did with Moana. That's an amazing film.
Yeah.
It's a beautiful film. It's empowering. It's exciting. And yet it's very human. And, you know, keep learning from around the world and making role models for so many kids. It's I can't wait to see what Disney is going to come up with next. I think it's going to be amazing.
Yeah, especially one of the things I really liked about Moana is I got a chance to learn a little bit of Polynesian culture, because especially covering it on the show, I was looking up like, well, who are their gods in the Polynesian culture? And so it was kind of neat to kind of look at it where when you blend in their mythology, you've got fantasy right there, which is kind of when you like in Hercules, I was mythology club president in my high school.
Nice.
Yes, I'll admit it. Total uber nerd. I went up in rank from being Hephaestus to Zeus. Okay. I had a rank. I took second in state competition on mythology. I'm admitting my nerdness. So actually Hercules bugged me because it wasn't accurate to myth at all. But when you go back and look at it and just take it for like how they appreciated the myth, and they take away, because there's a lot of really bad stuff that a lot of the Greek gods did. When you take that out and just take the fun of it, that's really what that movie did. It just take the fun of the Greek mythology, and that's what Moana kind of did for like a Polynesian style. And
absolutely,
I'd actually kind of like to see, you know, like the animated Mulan, I think they did a nice job of, you know, the faith of, you know, their ancestors and having them all, the little council and sending Eddie Murphy dragon off. I would like to still see them keep that in this live action. So I'm hoping it's going to be great. I've got my hopes up because it looks cool.
It looks
but
good.
Sometimes when it looks good, sometimes, you know, like Artemis Fowl looked good to me and then I watched it. So,
yeah, and I mean, that also really shows the power of movie magic, right? Whoever the editor on certain trailers are like, okay, you earned your job. And then other trailers, you're like, wait, this looks so average. And I just saw it on the plane flying somewhere. This is incredible. What happened?
Because,
you know, it's just so much down to editing and how skilled people are in this industry. But yeah, I can't wait for Mulan. I've heard they've changed some stuff up in it. Be interesting to see how that is, because I saw it and I got excited, you know, and whenever, you know, Disney can do that and just make you feel that, I think they are doing such incredible work.
Yeah. And I kind of like that Chinese culture and that tradition that they have is very fascinating. I like even, you know, Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon, just that fantasy level of, I mean, we're talking about a culture that predates us by like 1,000 and more years.
And they've had so many different rulers and so many different dynasties, and their country has changed so dramatically so many times. You know, a lot of the interesting things, you know, even let's say Cinderella. There's some rumors that Cinderella was actually an ancient Chinese tale. You know, you start going into history and sometimes people, the things that we think of Grimm's fairy tales and or that era might actually be far more ancient. And they might have just, you know, passed through the different countries over thousands of years. So it's I do hope that Disney, again, does keep pulling from other cultures, because there's so much that we love and we appreciate and we are so blessed to enjoy with all the princesses we have so far, you know, and hopefully they'll give a couple of awesome princes, because I think boys also need really great role models, you know, to live up to, too.
That's something I have actually complained about a few times, like, because when you think of every Disney fairy tale, you think of the princesses, and that's fine. I love them, but it's like for women who would complain, like, "Well, we got these princesses. Why don't we have something else?" I'm like, "I'm sorry. How many princes do we have that they're named Charming?" And when we look at Snow White, I always laugh with my wife that the only thing I remember of the prince in Snow White is one song, and I always say one song. He only has one song. That's all he's got in this movie. The princes always suck in these movies. It wasn't, I think, until like Prince Eric that we finally had one that had personality.
Yeah. Yeah, and it's really fascinating. You know, maybe as, you know, the genre continues to evolve and there's room for more types of roles, maybe we'll get some princes. Because why shouldn't a princess have a best friend that's a prince? And why can't they both be amazing? And why can't they be equal? You know, and both have their own incredible talent that builds for an incredible story, you know, from so many different stories around the world. Or even, you know, we also... many times, you know, Cinderella's been around for a really long time. Snow White's been around a really long time. But the magic of Disney is Disney created an entire land where anything is possible.
Yeah.
And to, you know, have that hope about, I can't wait to see what Disney's doing next, because I think that we're getting into an incredible opportunity in modern pop culture where, yeah, like, I hope that we start seeing some incredible role models for young boys that are in some of these movies where they can be equals and they can help each other and they can both be clever and smart and talented. You know, why not? As well as, you know, anything else, you know, why can't we have a movie, you know, in Africa again?
Yeah.
It's like, why not? There's so much culture there. Or, you know, go down to South America. They have indigenous stories too, where if it was appropriate to use the stories and tell them, some of them are fascinating. They have like shape shifting and they have all these different lore, which, you know, so many people in America don't even realize they have, that would be so neat to explore and celebrate.
Because we grow up with your Grimm's fairy tales. We grow up with those. We know the European stories, but there's stories around the rest of the world I don't know.
Yeah.
And when they do, like when Mulan came out, we didn't know anything about that over here.
Yeah. So, or very, very little. And all of a sudden it got people excited saying, oh, this is neat. Let me go learn. Or like you just said about Moana, you enjoyed the film. So you wanted to go and research the mythology. Like, that's the power of Disney.
Yeah.
Not just give a great story, but give people curiosity to learn about each other.
Yeah.
And it's like, that is such magic.
And Disney has yet to have done anything set in India that I can think of other than Jungle Book. But that doesn't get into, I mean, India, look at like Temple of Doom. You have this whole weird culture of, like, you have like a Shiva and, who was the evil god there in Temple of Doom? I can't think, all of a sudden it's gone. Right. But like, there's a whole pantheon of interesting stuff from culture in India. You could go in Japan. Russia. Has Disney ever done a movie that was like in Russia with any of their
tales? And you're right. And Russian folklore, again, has incredible stories that we don't normally tell that are fascinating. Or I think that Disney Jr. have a current an Indian family where the little girl's a detective? Does that ring a bell? Is that Disney?
I don't know. I don't watch Disney Junior.
Okay. I work with a lot of kids, so I tend to try to keep abreast of what's going on with Disney Junior. I think they actually might have a new show about a little girl who's from an Indian family that actually wants to be a detective when she grows up.
Cool.
And I saw a preview from it somewhere on the internet about a month ago, but it was neat to see them do that. Or honestly, like Elena of Avalor, the kids cartoon show with the Latina princess.
Mm-hmm.
Fascinating show. Just neat. Beautiful. It's really, really neat, and also encourages a lot of kids to learn a different language because it makes it into that show.
Yeah. That's how I even learned stuff about sign language was Sesame Street, because they had the one lady who was signing all the time. And I, you know, when you're little, you don't understand. Then you're like, she's talking to people with their hands.
Yeah.
And it's kind of mind blowing. So you have that opportunity to like, hey, you know, there's a whole world of stories that maybe you're not normally getting. So I think that's one of the nice things about some of our modern world is we are getting a lot more of those stories. I'm like, you know, just where you don't just hear of, you know, Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs when you're little. Now you can hear stories from around the world. And I think there's we got a whole other topic we got into, but there's a whole world of stories I want to see.
Yeah, I really hope storytellers take it to heart and know that they can make a difference and inspire people. And it's okay to do something new because, you know, one of the shows I run with the mermaids is we work with a children's aquarium in California called Ocean Institute. And every September, we actually take over a big part of the aquarium. We bring a ton of professional mermaids in from my team. And we do shows where they have a giant tank. And it's really neat because that particular aquarium is incredibly pro-child, pro-education, and they're also very open-minded, which means that I can go in with a pitch, and if they like it, I can run it. So the show that's been there for the last 3 years that we bring in every September, you know, again, leveraging if you're a creative in the position to, you know, use that Disney magic, use whatever magic you have, use your storytelling, your imagination to create a new role. That show is called Aqua ASL. And we talk about how do mermaids communicate underwater.
Oh, fun. And
because, you know, the entire talking underwater doesn't really work actually in real life. So we actually teach the kids basic ASL and present it as a mermaid, you know, solution to how do you talk underwater. And we really empower kids to get excited about it. And the deaf community, thankfully, has been incredibly supportive of it. They love our show. And, you know, sometimes like we'll have a mom come up crying and they're like, thank you so much for doing this. You don't understand. And it's like, I know I don't understand. But then she'll go on and she says, it's like, you just made me proud that my child knows this, you know, or something like that. But that's also, you know, as storytellers and as, you know, heroes or heroines or princesses or whatever in our own life that really develop skills, try new things. We can also look for opportunities to make a new character. And that can be super fun. If everything looked the same, it would be a very boring world. Mm-hmm. You know, when all of a sudden people think a different way because of the way that their culture raised them or the way that their language even teaches them to think about the world, you have such a different perspective that is just neat. The more roles that are open for more and more types of people, whether it be a bold or a shy or, you know, dark skinned, light skinned, you know, from whatever country, suddenly all of us are in that fantasy. And then everyone has somebody they can relate to, you know, regardless of who they are. So, I'm grateful that they're opening roles. But I agree with you, like, I don't think that there's anything wrong for creating brand new roles that people can celebrate and live in, that they don't have any preconceived notions of, that they can fall in love with that character for the purity that it is as a unique individual. Because at the end of the day, that's all what people are. We're all unique individuals that each have our own contribution.
Yeah. And other people can be very fascinating if you take the time to listen and talk to people.
Absolutely.
We've got a good story from you. Of course, we knew you had a bunch of cool stuff you were doing anyway, but you never know when you talk to people who they like, because you got to meet a World War II veteran and you didn't expect that to happen. I actually, in a museum here in Kansas City, my wife and I were just kind of visiting and there was a section that was still kind of, they were putting a new exhibit in under construction, but they just had a guy that it was a World War II veteran. They just wanted him to be around to talk about, so they were building some new World War II like propaganda and ads and everything. And so they just said, well, won't you come and just hang out and talk to people as we're showing people this new World War II stuff. And we didn't even know what was there, but it's like, we've now got to meet somebody and hear stories that we would never have heard. And he was talking, even he was on a ship that was in a kamikaze attack. And he was talking about, you know, watching his friends going into the water and all, you know, it's like people have stories and, you know, sometimes you hit the jackpot and you have that amazing stories of survival. And sometimes you just, they're, people have funny stories because funny things happen to everybody. So, I don't know if I had a point to that, but yeah, it's like knowing other people, knowing other cultures.
Yeah, you know, give the opportunity for new roles, and you don't know where it's going to take you, and you could come up with one of the most successful characters of all time.
Yeah,
you know, and I'm grateful that Disney seems to be testing that out. You know, like Moana, for example, and. Gosh, if I was 5 years old, I want to be Moana when I grew up. She could talk to the ocean.
You know? Yeah, she was friends with the ocean. She didn't have to learn to swim. The ocean carried her, man. That's pretty cool.
Wouldn't that be nice? The real ocean could do that.
Yeah. And one thing I also really liked about Moana is, okay, granted, yes, we have Dwayne The Rock Johnson, so we have our celebrity name, but I like that they found an unknown actress to play the lead.
I like that, too.
I like that.
And she did job.
She was fantastic. She was so good. And, you know, we have so much in animation, and I mainly say this because I've gotten to talk to the voice actors.
Yes.
They always get they want a big celebrity name to attach, and Disney's very guilty of this themselves. They want the celebrity name to attach when it used to not matter. It used to be they just got somebody who was just really good, and maybe we've never heard of them, but we're going to love what they, I mean, like this Jodie Benson. We didn't know who she was before she was Ariel.
Right.
Even you know, Paige O'Hara as Belle. I mean, that was the 90s. We might have somebody with, you know, Jerry Orbach is in Beauty and the Beast, but he's a side character. He's not the main. But I like getting people who are just talented, and we don't know their names, but we get to now experience new talent because of their what people voice actors are amazing. What they can do with their voice, and especially the ones that
it's
can sing.
It's unreal. It's so incredible.
And they're so fun to talk to, you know, and I appreciate that a lot of people now are starting to be able to come together and go to conventions and meet the people who have voiced all these characters they love when they're kids. And I loved meeting Bill Farmer. He was just such a peach. And he's got a new show on Disney Plus. By the way, if y'all haven't been watching The Dog's Life with Bill Farmer, it's a great show. And Bill Farmer, he's just so charming in person. And it's really funny when he gets a dog and he does the Pluto bark.
That's fantastic.
Yeah. Bill Farmer's great.
It's interesting. You know, I think with any cast or crew or team, it's really about making sure that you have the right people in the right places.
Yeah.
You know, because it's like, Dwayne Johnson was the perfect Maui.
Yeah, he was so good. He really was.
That man is so talented. It's unreal. And at the same time, you know, doing that little extra work to go find the right girl for Moana, and they killed it. And now everyone knows her name. You know, thank you so much for doing this podcast because, like, you yourself are helping to connect people with voices they might not ever hear before. And, you know, maybe during your interviews, they might hear that little nugget and be like, oh, that sounds interesting. And maybe you'll also just inspire them to learn today. So thank you for all the hard work that goes into editing a podcast. I know you know, I do a podcast for work. It takes time. And I very much value, you know, what you do. Thank you for doing this. And, you know, if your fans haven't said it today, like, thanks for connecting us with stuff that, you know, still delights and inspires us. Because especially right now in the world, it's good to have a happy thought.
Yes. And we live on happy thoughts around here. This is Neverland. And I actually have one of our mementos or mottos, which my best friend got me. It's hanging up here on the wall right above the computer screen. It says, grow wise, grow strong, but never grow up. And we live on that. Of course, our other thing is say, I always like to tell people, keep a pixie in your pocket. And a pixie is what we call that nice, positive, young at heart attitude. And you have it in your pocket, it's easy to pull it out and share it with somebody.
Love it.
Yes. So that is our goal. You've nailed it. That's some positive and some fun because doggone it, we need some. But now if people want to have some fun with you, you've got a couple of websites and I want to make sure we get those out there.
Yeah.
Sheroes Entertainment. And I believe it was .com. Let me pull it back up. I had it up here because you do have your own. I'm looking at your VirginiaHankins.coms as well.
Yeah. So for my production company in Hollywood, it's called Sheroes Entertainment. S-H-E-R-O-E-S. It's basically female heroes. And that's all experiential theme parties. So like say somebody wants to throw the most amazing 30th birthday and they love sword fighting. My crew coordinates that. You know, brand launches come to us all the time with new products or influencer activations for like DVD releases, that kind of stuff to get people immersive experiences to try. And that's also, you know, the parent company of LA Mermaid School, where you can actually learn if you're ever visiting California from one of our instructors. And we provide the mermaid tail rentals, and we actually teach you from the ground up of how to be a real life mermaid.
Cool.
And Milo the Unicorn is M-I-L-O, Milo the Unicorn. I highly recommend checking out my unicorn's website. He's fabulous. Just leave it at that. Pink, purple, glitter, happy thoughts. Yeah, he's amazing. And actually, he is doing Zoom calls with now because all of us are online. So you can actually book a unicorn Zoom call with me and Milo. And all of the money on those Zoom calls actually goes directly to paid for his feed and food and care. So 100% of it goes to the animal.
And you do have a book available on Amazon. Let's see. Where was it? Yes. Be a Real Life Mermaid.
And that is an amazing book for anyone that wants some crafty ideas. Maybe you're stuck at home this summer and want to do some recipes and some sewing and learn some mermaid trivia. It's all in there. It's kind of a hodgepodge, amazing book about mermaids by Ulysses Press.
I think I need to buy it for my wife because my wife wanted to be a mermaid when she was little.
Who didn't?
Which is probably why she swims really well. And she ended up being a lifeguard in high school. So I'm like, it had to come from wanting to be a mermaid.
It's amazing. So like, you know, most mermaids are lifeguards, at least for my company. They have to be a lifeguard to work for me.
Yeah.
Because, you know, they're the first in line. If someone's in trouble, you know, those fins have a pretty good kick to them. And you can help somebody get out of the way.
Now, how cool would it be if you're drowning and you get rescued by a mermaid? I mean, you're living the Prince Eric fantasy right there. That some mermaid saves you.
You know, I'll give you a hookup there. If you want to read that particular story, go and it's Jessica Sanders, and she has a series called Rescue Sirens.
Oh.
Her husband was involved with Lilo and Stitch and Mulan. So if you want kind of that interesting, like, Disney relation, they're there. It's a great book. Jess did an amazing job. She was also a lifeguard. So it's this incredible series about a group of amazing girls from around the world that actually work as lifeguards and help people.
Awesome.
That well, also Virginia,
once again, everybody, Virginia Hankins, H-A-N-K-I-N-S. Thanks for coming on to the show. This was a lot of fun. You know, we just kind of, I don't so much interview as I just have fun conversations and we geek out on stuff.
Thank
and
you
I think
so
we did
much
pretty good.
I really appreciate it. It was a great time.
To all who come to this happy place, welcome. Disneyland is your land. Here age relives fond memories of the past, and here youth may savor the challenge and promise of the future. Disneyland is dedicated to the ideals, the dreams, and the hard facts that have created America, with the hope that it will be a source of joy and inspiration to all the world.
Alrighty, so I selected something to listen to today, and it's something I don't think we've heard before, and it is a return of good old Lost Boy Jesse. I know we haven't talked to him in a very long time. I still talk to him on Facebook, but we haven't had him on the show, but he's still got a lot of audio he sent me a while back at a Friends of the Magic event, but he did something kind of special and unique that I think is very uniquely Disneyland, and so I wanted to share it with you. So take it away, Jesse, live from Disneyland. Well, at least it was live when he recorded it, and he is still alive, so it counts.
Let's take a ride at a Disney park. Let's take a ride right now. Oh, oh.
We're standing in front of Sleeping Beauty's castle right now, and I am going to do something I have not done before, and I am going to attempt to ride the different vehicles of Main Street, the horse-drawn carriage, the fire engine, the omnibus, and the horse's carriage. Should be an interesting background loop as we go, and might hear some interesting park trivia or audio. So let's give it a try.
That's cute.
Yeah. So the back is the bell all the way down.
Why do they want to walk alone? They don't see him. The bigger the horse, the more visible he is. That's one of my really big guys out here. Completely invisible. No, this is Sully.
Brother.
Sully's 2,300 pounds, our big guy.
This one?
No, our biggest guy. He's 2,300 pounds, and nobody sees him.
How big is this one?
Brother here is only about 1,600 pounds. 15, 16. Brother, he's 17 pounds. Sully's
2,300 pounds. Brother, get up.
The horse-drawn trolley, and we did pass Scott and Tracy from Disney, Indiana during the ride. So hello to them. Up next will be the double-decker omnibus.
Castle, one way ride to the castle.
Perfect. Top or bottom, is there a preference?
Huh?
Top or bottom, is there a preference?
No, it's your choice. Your choice.
Did you ride to the castle?
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome aboard the Disneyland Omnibus. My name is Ken. I'm going to be your driver. We're going to be going 998 feet 6 inches up to the castle. And you all got to stay seated because we're going to be hitting speed numbers up 5 miles an hour. Please stay seated at all times. Keep your hands and arms inside the table. Supervise your children. And feel free to wave to the folks as we go up the street. Here we go. Now we're going by the Opera House on the right-hand side. There you have Great Moments from Mr. Lincoln. That's a great show if you haven't seen it. And it's nice and cool inside too. Now the characters come out all day long here at Town Square. You can see Minnie right over here on the right. Minnie, Mickey, and all the characters come out all day long here at Town Square. Coming to Main Street, USA. This is Main Street. It's Walt imagined it many years ago from that small town of Missouri where he grew up. Here on the left-hand side is the aquarium. That's the largest gift shop in the park. And on the right is the movie theater where we have six continuous showings of cartoons, including the famous Steamboat Willie. That's the cartoon that got us started for Walt Mickey many years ago. First Disney talking cartoon. And coming down here on the right-hand side is the Market House. Back behind the Market House are the First Aid, and the Market House is Star Alley Starbucks. You see that photographer on the left-hand side? That is Kevin. Everybody say hi to Kevin over here on the left. There we got the Carnation Cafe for a nice sit-down breakfast, indoor and outdoor seating, waiter and waitress served. Looks like the ice cream part has opened up. And we also have the mini arcade here on the left, as well as the candy palace. Now the park is open till midnight tonight. The shops along Main Street will stay open 1 hour later for your shopping pleasure. Also, we have a parade scheduled 2 times today. That's at 4 o'clock and 6:30 up and down Main Street. And we have fireworks scheduled at 9:25 over the castle. We have a show called Phantasming down by the rivers. That is at 9 o'clock at 10:30, and there is is also a show called Making the Magic Map up at Toontown by the Toontown Railroad Station at the Fantasy Theater. And that show starts at 12:15 is the first one. They have about four more throughout the afternoon. Making the Magic Map is a musical. It's really, really good. Here's the end of Main Street as well. Mickey Statue, thanks to them. They've made it possible for us to be here. Now here is the house, the gateway to all the land. Tomorrowland is on the right-hand side. Fantasyland, Toontown, right through the castle. Adventureland, Frontierland, Critter Country, and New Orleans Square, right behind us. And on our left. I want to thank you for joining us on the Disneyland Omnibus. My name is Ken. I've been your driver. Please be careful coming down the stairs. Grasp the railing with both hands. Watch your step as you exit the bus. And have a wonderful day in the original Magic Kingdom. Thank you.
Welcome. Have a good day now.
You too. One more?
Yeah, it's a big kingdom.
අපි ඒව ලියන් සති දැන් නේ
අර පෙරහැර බලමු නබෙන්නේ තියෙන පෙරහැර
ඒක අහරින් බලන්න පුළුවන් නේද
ඒකම නේ කියවන්න ඔව් ඔව් බලන්න යන්න පාස්
Fire engine. All we're missing now is the omnibus, which we just passed on the way into the front of the park drop off. So we'll just wait a few minutes and listen to the music.
Oh my God.
First time visitors?
I don't know.
Yeah? And where are you folks from? You all together here? No?
Local. We're all
local. Okay. I'm sitting right here.
Okay, good.
Well, you're not exactly
in the seat. Yeah, I know.
All right. Oh, you want to sit by Mom, huh?
It's okay, I'll just
have a seat. Maybe. What?
Get down.
Oh, sure, you can open up your mouth.
Daddy, I see it. Yeah, I'll go.
We're ready to go.
Okay, please remain seated at all times and please supervise your children. Here we go.
Now we'll just let them run wild.
Okay.
We like the car, huh?
It's like we're just riding in an open car.
You can wave it, everybody. VIP's on board. Sorry, no autographs today. However, paparazzi, feel free and take all the photos you like. Why the long face?
What is the horse?
That's brother.
And so there we go, all the vehicles were Main Street, USA. Had a few minutes now before our first Friends of the Magic meet of the day. I'm going to wander around Main Street, grab a warm beverage, and I will see you in a little while.
Thank you for listening to the Neverland Podcast.
We invite you back next week for more fun and adventure.
Until then, remember to keep a pixie in your pocket.
It's that young at heart, positive attitude that you can share with others.
And remember to visit our website at neverlandpodcast.com.
There you can find links to our news page, our shop,
our contact page, where you can easily send an email to podcast@neverlandpodcast.com.
You can also find our Neverlanders page, where you can find out how to become an official Lost Boy or Pixie, because girls are too clever to get lost.
Become a real Neverlander.
Please feel free to leave us a voicemail at 816-226-6492.
And be sure to follow us on Twitter at NeverlandPcast.
And like our Neverland Podcast fan page on Facebook.
We also have a group on Facebook for you to join.
We also appreciate your support to keep the Neverland Podcast up and running.
Visit patreon.com/neverlandpodcast to donate to keeping the pixie dust alive.
Copyright content featured on the Neverland Podcast is copyright of their respective creators and used under fair use license.
All original content is copyright of Blue Band Productions, and a very special thanks to Yeehaw Bob Jackson at yeehawbob.com for our new ending music.
God bless!
Yeah! Hello, everybody, this is Yeehaw Bob Jackson. Neverland Podcast, we love you. Neverland Podcast, we love you. Neverland Podcast, it's true. Neverland Podcast, we love you.
Spring is in full bloom. Are your finances? With a Chime Secured Credit Builder Visa credit card, you can build credit with everyday purchases and regular on-time payments, all with no annual fees or interest. With Chime's secure credit card, you can start improving your credit scores right away. Get started today at Chime.com/build. That's Chime.com/build. Chime feels like progress. The Chime Credit Builder Visa credit card is issued by the Bancorp Bank N.A. or Stride Bank N.A. members FDIC. Out-of-network ATM withdrawal and OTC advance fees may apply. Terms and conditions apply. Go to Chime.com/disclosures for details.